Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Christ is risen indeed. He is truly risen. Welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefke, your host for the program, so very happy and blessed to be here with you today in this glorious Easter season as we continue to celebrate the victory of life over death. Thanks so much for joining me today. Well, the title of an article printed in the National Catholic Register recently sums up the state of our world right now. Sex, gender, and a whole lot of confusion. Last week, we started to take a look into this sweeping craze of transgenderism or gender ideology, a concept which makes the claim that one's personal identity and gender do not have to necessarily correspond to the person's birth or biological sex. Transgenderism is yet another domino to fall in the line that leads to what the late and great Cardinal Carla Caffara called the anti-creation. Because the passion, death, and resurrection of the God-made man conquered the evil one and opened up the gates of heaven to fallen man, Satan seeks to get back at God, so to speak, by, in the words of Cardinal Caffara, constructing an alternative to God's creation, and then enticing man to choose this alternative creation over God's. Satan is extremely jealous of man and has great contempt for him. And there are many instruments in his toolbox that he uses to ensnare men and women in the death trap that he has set for them, including contraception, sterilization, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism, and transhumanism. 1 John chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 say, "We know that we belong to God and the whole world is under the power of the evil one. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us discernment to know the one who is true. And we are in the one who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Children, be on your guard against idols." Those things that I just mentioned are as idols, and they are the building blocks of an anti-creation in honor of the one who thinks himself God, but is actually a murderer and a liar from the beginning. We're going to continue talking about one of those anti-creation building blocks today, transgenderism, delving more deeply into its philosophical and Marxist origins. But before we go any further, let's begin in prayer. My God, you have given us a body to keep pure, clean, and healthy for your service and for our eternal happiness. Forgive us for all of our unfaithfulness in this great responsibility. Forgive us for every mean use which we have made of your gifts in thought, word, or deed since our rebirth as your adopted children in baptism and our registration as soldiers of Christ on the day of our confirmation. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and give us a steadfast will that we may be a strength to others around us. Teach us to respect our bodies and the bodies of our fellow creatures. Help us to see the glory of perfect manhood in Jesus Christ and of perfect womanhood in Mary Immaculate. Inspire us with such love for the ideals for which our Savior lived and died that all our passions and energies will be caught up into the enthusiasm of his service and evil things will lose their power. May our bodies be the servants of our souls, and may both body and soul be your servants. May we be among the number of those whom Jesus spoke, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. In major pro-life news this week, the Supreme Court, according to a leaked draft opinion, seems set to strike down Roe v. Wade and return the legality of abortion to the states. "We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled," Justice Samuel Alito wrote in the draft majority opinion. "Roe was egregiously wrong from the start, its reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences," the leaked opinion continued. "It is time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives." Pro-life leaders are cautioning, however, that this preliminary version may not reflect the final decision of the court, and that changing the opinion of a justice is likely the intent of the person who leaked the opinion. As such, prayers must be intensified for the justices. And in comments made to the media about the leaked draft Supreme Court decision on Dobbs, President Joe Biden acknowledged that abortion does indeed kill a child. The idea that we're going to make a judgment that is going to say that no one can make the judgment to choose to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court, I think goes way overboard, Biden told reporters this past Tuesday. Remarkably, Biden also went on to make the claim that all mainstream religions believe that when life begins is an unsettled question. Is it at the moment of conception? Is it 6 months? Is it 6 weeks? Biden queried. The president also warned his base that the constitutional right to gay marriage and other cases that involve a right to privacy would be endangered if the Supreme Court does overturn Roe v. Wade. And in light of the leaked draft, Indiana state legislators reiterated their support this week for a special session to be called in order to pass pro-life measures if Roe v. Wade is overturned. More than 100 Republicans had signed a letter this past March asking Governor Eric Holcomb to call for such a session. The Hoosier governor did state on Wednesday that such a special session is on the table. Lastly, for the first time in a couple of years, the Bloomington Planned Parenthood performed abortions for 4 Thursdays in a row. Several women from Kentucky and one from Tennessee made the trip to Bloomington to have their unborn babies killed, joining with several Hoosier women. Thursday's figure at 22 brings the total number of children in the womb killed by abortion there at 421 South College Avenue to nearly 250 for the year. Please keep praying for miracles and for the conversion of all who work and patron there. And that's your weekly in the news. Well, on last week's Pro-Life to the Max show, we started discussing the issue of transgenderism. If you didn't catch that program, you can listen to it by going to wombradio.com, where all the past episodes are posted. Near the end of the program last week, I talked about a book by John Grabowski entitled Unraveling Gender, The Battle Over Sexual Difference. Grabowski, who is a moral theologian, does a fine job in his work, alerting the reader to the heretical nature found in gender ideology and the means by which this madness has come to overtake our culture. I also ended the program by starting to talk about a philosophical form of dualism that has been used to justify and promote transgenderism. This dualism was actually made popular by a 17th century Catholic philosopher by the name of René Descartes. Descartes taught that the human person is divided into two separate parts, a mental element called the soul or spirit, and a corporeal substance, the body. For Descartes, the spirit or soul, which he termed the thinking self, was the part that constitutes who you are as a person. The body, he said, was merely accidental and not essential to a person's identity. In other words, he said, our bodies are merely machines in which the soul exists as a ghost, hence the phrase ghost in the machine. This theory of the radical separation of mind and body became known as Cartesian dualism. And by attributing to the mind this, what might be called sovereignty over the external physical world, Cartesian dualism leads to a me culture. That's because the mind is given such a degree of independence from the body and everything physical. It leads to what is called solipsism, the thought that the self is all that can be known to exist. Each one of us, then, determines in our own minds what is real and what is best, setting us up as our own gods. Now, the irony is that Descartes did not consider himself an atheist at all. In fact, he wrote some impressive proofs for the existence of God. But really, his idea of this dualism between body and soul leads to a practical atheism where we are each our own God. Descartes' philosophy is the antithesis of what the Catholic Church teaches about how the body and soul are together a composite of the human person. Now, last year, right about this time during the Easter season, we did a program specifically addressing the importance and dignity of the human body. In that show, I mentioned how St. Thomas Aquinas said that the human soul without the body is in an unnatural state. Aquinas taught that our bodies are necessary for the operation of our souls. Before the fall, there was a natural and beautiful harmony between the body and soul. Now, as a result of the fall in concupiscence, we have to work hard to reestablish, as much as we can in this life, that symmetry and congruity between the two. The dualism in Descartes' flawed philosophy causes all sorts of problems in achieving this goal. Unfortunately, Descartes' thinking seems to have made a comeback in our own times and is responsible, at least in part, for the growing acceptance of transgenderism. It's an old philosophy that's been rehashed to sell such things as abortion, contraception, sexual perversions, and so on. And you know, this is why it is so very important that we have good, solid Catholic and classical education to train children in sound reasoning and philosophy. God gave us minds to think critically and logically so that we might come to know Him through not only our intellects and minds, but also through our bodies and physical surroundings. Today, not only in public schools, but also in many Catholic ones, Cartesian dualism is effectively taught every time relativism is embraced. Well, what's true for you may not be true for me, they say. This dualism is also employed when children are taught that they can be whatever sex they want, because it's really the mind and not the body that determines what gender you are, the thinking goes. Essentially, we become our own creators, and we attempt to cancel out our very nature. Gender ideology basically starts with a construct or identity that is created in the mind or spirit, either conforming to reality or not, and the body becomes merely a template to project this identity. Thus is the body seen as a hindrance or as something that is not good and must be changed. Looking at the spiritual side of this, it is part of Satan's plan to mock God's looking upon man as very good after he had made him body and soul. Well, in his book, Unraveling Gender, Grabowski is also of the opinion that gender ideology really gets its fuel from an even more recent philosophy, that of Jean-Paul Sartre, a 20th century French philosopher who was one of the key figures in existentialism, an ideology whose central proposition is that existence precedes essence. Existence is consciousness, and essence is genetic and environmental makeup. Now, in traditional Western philosophy, which Sartre turned on its head, essence always precedes existence. Genetic and environmental factors determine our behavior. Generally shared genetic and environmental characteristics across the species are typically termed human nature. Existentialism rejects the existence of a common human nature by proposing that existence comes before essence, meaning that our consciousness can determine how we feel about the world around us, independent of our basic genetic and environmental formation. As an interesting and I think important side note, Philip Trower, who was a great Catholic thinker and writer, penned an article called Existentialism, The Ugly Intruder. In it, he warned that it is almost impossible to exaggerate the importance of this philosophy, that is, existentialism, that has transformed religious thinking everywhere, both inside and outside the Catholic Church. Trower says that if the shape of Christian belief once seemed clear to you, but now seems fuzzy and without substance, if your priest speaks to you of Christian faith, life situations, commitment, encounter, or meaningful experiences, without your being sure whether he believes in the incarnation and resurrection, the afterlife, or even God, existentialism is largely responsible. Existentialist thinking has seeped into many places, and you can often identify it when you hear words and phrases like openness, encounter, meaningful relationships, experienced reality, and do what is right for you. But getting back to the subject at hand, Sartre had a huge influence on the world, promoting an existentialism paired with Marxism. Existentialism, with its idea that there is no human nature to actualize or that is the basis of our being, fits in nicely with the Marxist view that there is no human nature since there is no God to conceive it. Sartre worked with the prominent feminist and fellow existentialist philosopher Simone de Beauvoir. The two, it is said, had more than just a working relationship. Together, they challenged the cultural, moral, and social assumptions of their upbringings, which they said were bourgeois. Sexual mores were oppressive and destructive, the two argued, and needed to be overthrown. Furthermore, they believed and taught that the notion that males and females are different by nature is the basis of women's subjugation. Sexual difference, Sartre and de Beauvoir argued, is unjust and must be overcome as much as possible. Contraception, sterilization, abortion, and the use of artificial wombs for pregnancies were some of the tools they believed that needed to be utilized in order to eliminate these sex differences or classifications. Thus, we can see why many feminists don't even seem to be upset by biological men who have transgendered to women, participating and being victorious in things like women's sports. Marxism and this new feminism totally dismiss human nature, truth, and universal moral codes. Their focus is simply on a twisted idea of equality and egalitarianism. Their aim to achieve this equality is to abolish marriage, the family, and the sexes, to build an anti-creation. We must never forget this. Marxism denies that there is a human nature and a God. When this happens, the body becomes a blank slate upon which to construct your own self-identity as to however you see fit. Instead of seeing the body and fertility as a gift in need of good stewardship, the human body and fertility are viewed as a problem, as a barrier to equality. In his book, Unraveling Gender, Grabowski has quite a bit to say about this. He writes, "In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verse 13, we read, 'Two evils my people have done. They have forsaken me, the source of living waters, and they have dug themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. God alone is the source of living waters.' In our times, we are digging for ourselves broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Gender ideology clearly rejects our status as creatures and co-creators with God, since our nature includes sexually differentiated bodies capable of transmitting life through the union of man and woman in the covenant of marriage. Having cast off this reality as false and oppressive, this ideology seeks alternative explanations based entirely on secular currents of modern thought. In a universe empty of an infinitely powerful and loving God, gender ideology fashions its answers to what it means to be a human without reference to categories such as nature, being, or truth. There are no transcendent moral values. Only a struggle for justice, conceived as sameness, to be pursued through revolutionary means. The body, sex, and marriage must be rethought and reconfigured insofar as they further the oppression of individuals or groups. Yet these musings of modernity's various atheistic humanisms are nothing more than our contemporary broken cisterns, incapable of containing the waters of life-giving truth," writes Grabowski. Last week, I referenced some work done by a man named Walt Heyer, who himself had suffered through gender dysphoria and was told to undergo a sex change operation, which he dutifully did. Well, it turned out that it made his life all the worse, as it does for nearly every poor soul who goes through such a drastically unnatural thing. Finally obtaining the spiritual and psychological help that he really needed, Heyer transitioned back and now works to raise public awareness of the tragic consequences of gender ideology. In an article carried by the Daily Signal entitled, "It's Not Just Gender Dysphoria, It's Now Rapid Onset Marxism," Heyer critiqued the decision made back in January by our U.S. House of Representatives to explicitly strike gendered language from the official House rules. These rules prohibit the use of terms that designate the gender of familial relationships like father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, and so on, and replaces them with gender-neutral terms. Yes, this is the law currently being used in the U.S. House of Representatives, a statute that one TV host called obscenely Marxist because it deconstructs what it means to be male and female. Heyer writes, "The goal of social policing of our language is thought control, which epitomizes the Marxist agenda. The surge in the number of people expressing gender confusion makes sense when looked at through the lens of Marxism. The rapid onset of gender dysphoria provides cover for the dangerous onset and adoption of radical destructive Marxist ideas. Marxism, with its guiding principle of abolish and destroy, goes a long way toward explaining today's strident transgender activism. The forces behind the gender agenda have utilized Marxist techniques of silencing dissenters to coerce conformity from the general population. Forcing people to use non-gendered designations for family relationships further dehumanizes and demoralizes relationships. This is consistent with Marxism's atheistic, soulless ideology, which is fundamentally incompatible with the Judeo-Christian foundations of this nation. It brings class struggle from the economic into the cultural sphere by provoking clashes between ideas and people. Cultural Marxism's goal is to forcibly overthrow all existing social conditions and to centralize power in the hands of the state. It thrives on us versus them divisions, oppressed versus oppressor. Marxism is based on hatred of God and destruction of personhood, families, and the church. Its influence comes slowly at first, infiltrating the youth through school curriculum until a generation that hasn't been taught the dangers of these ideas is in leadership. Christians must wake up and realize the end game of Marxism is to overthrow and destroy individuals, families, God, and the church. We must oppose Marxism in all its forms, economic and cultural, because it threatens to destroy our freedoms. We are amid this collapse and need to speak up in our churches and to our government officials. That pretty much sums it up there from former transgenderist Walt Heyer. Existentialist and Marxist ideologies have flooded our schools, higher institutions of learning, and the media for decades now, with little to no pushback. We are paying a very heavy price. These two theories seek to construct a world where the individual creates himself or herself apart from a stable human nature and separated from a world that reflects the beauty and wisdom of its divine creator. In short, an anti-creation. In such an establishment, far from producing equality and freedom, the only real fruits are chaos and confusion, mental illness, and slavery to sin. It all began with the widespread acceptance, even among many Christians, of evils like contraception, sterilization, pornography, and reproductive technology like in vitro fertilization. These things separate or create a disconnect between marriage, sex, and children. They dissociate the body and sex from identity, paving the way for gender ideology. They also all create habits of regarding oneself and others as mere objects. A shocking private poll that was released in October of 2020 found that 30% of American women under 25 years of age identified as homosexual, bisexual, or transgender. In other words, a significant percentage of young women today aren't even interested in men, getting married, or having children. This trend had already been observed when, in 2009, for the first time in history, there were more unmarried women in the U.S. than married ones. Conservative commentators attribute this shift to young women rejecting sexual complementarity, which they've learned from schools and from the culture. Connected with this is the concept that singlehood will produce a sort of utopia by expanding people's freedom. The me culture is reigning. Back on March 31st, during the most holy and sacred season of Lent and wrapping up the month dedicated to the most chaste Saint Joseph, baptized Catholic President Joe Biden marked this so-called Transgender Day of Visibility by releasing a videotaped message to transgender Americans. Seeking to be compassionate, Biden said to them, "Our entire administration sees you for who you are, made in the image of God and deserving of dignity, respect, and support." Though certainly a true enough statement on the surface, the president's comments, however, warrant a deeper reflection. For starters, how can we ever really show respect for and acknowledge the dignity of a person if we do not do so grounded in reality and in the truth? Our bodies matter. They are essential to our personhood, and they tell us something very important about who we are. Each embodied human person is chosen and loved by God from all eternity. Maleness and femaleness were created by God fundamentally to help us love and to help us arrive to eternal life. To reject this truth about the body and the complementary sexes is to reject love and life. That's why those who support transgenderism must often go out of their way to try and convince others that they are speaking from a point of love and compassion. They will very often, as Biden did in that message on March 31st, focus on any real or perceived violence, threat, or bullying done to transgender individuals, especially like when attempts are made to pass legislation that comes across as restricting their right to live contrary to their biological sex. By appealing to a false sense of tolerance and compassion, the great lie is peddled. In actuality, telling someone that they can live contrary to their human nature and against their innate biological sex without any repercussions is very cruel. Walt Heyer and others like him who have retransitioned know all about this. Sadly, in that video message, President Biden went on to list the big plans that he has for expanding transgender rights, including putting a new X gender marker on U.S. passport applications, new Transportation Security Administration scanners that are gender neutral, providing more resources for transgender kids and their families, especially through the school systems, and advancing equity and civil rights for all transgender people through legislative measures like the Equality Act. Christ's one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church has the answers for these troubling times. We find them through her perennial teachings, through the sacraments, through the lives of her saints, and through the mysteries of the faith that she lives out anew in her liturgical life. And we find a special gift given to us in the writings of some of the more recent saints like Pope St. John Paul II and St. Edith Stein, who, no doubt inspired by the Holy Spirit, have left us with treasures of insight and wisdom on the spousal meaning of the body, how the differences between a man and a woman are actually a supreme gift, and how they are meant to complement each other, and how God reveals himself as a communion of persons in love through the establishment of marriage and the family. Next week, we're going to finish up on the subject of transgenderism by focusing on the importance of how we must bring the beautiful mystery that is the human person into our families, the public square, and into places of education. We'll also talk about transhumanism, the next logical step in man's attempt to free himself from his biological limitations. One political philosopher has called transhumanism the world's most dangerous idea. Clearly, the Church's teachings on human sexuality, marriage, and the family are all under attack. Those who uphold these traditional views are labeled as offensive or hateful. Attempts are often made to banish these teachings from the public domain, either through the passage of laws or at least by ostracism. But as Grabowski points out in his book, Unraveling Gender, if the Church takes sides in what some have called the culture wars, she therefore does so not for political purposes or to win victories in the public arena of opinions and ideas. She does so as part of her own mission and evangelization. If Christians join these battles, they do so because their faith moves them to. They do so in the hope of inviting others to encounter the person of Jesus Christ, who is the center and Lord of human history. The weapons of this battle, Grabowski writes, are not those of war or of political power. They are weapons of truth, love, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, wielded through humility and self-sacrifice. Confronting and defeating gender ideology's distorted theology is in the service of inviting others to experience God's mercy and love for them. The body and its sex are not limits to be overcome in writing a personal identity or prisons to be escaped through technology. The body and its sex are actually visible signs of a call to communion of love and life, a visible sign of the invisible love of God. Thanks so much for joining me today. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe: the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.